The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's a nice day in the 60s right now, but homeless groups looking ahead to next week when we're going to see some of the coldest weather we've seen.
The nonprofit Our Calling worked with the city of Dallas and other groups to house people at Fair Park earlier this month. Juliana Williams says another cold snap can lead to even greater need.
Really, with cold weather, it's the cumulative effect on people physically.
So she says they're trying to warn people and get ready for this next round.
Our greatest need right now is actually sweatpants. We really need sweatpants to help a lot of our high-needs guests have a change of clothes.
She says they also need volunteers, both to warn people and also supplement staff trying to get ready. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A big announcement from Fort Worth because of the expected crazy cold temperatures around here on Monday. The city postponing the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade. Now, the organizers say it is a cherished tradition that honors Dr. King's legacy, and they are committed to making sure everyone can participate in the parade and celebrate. So it is rescheduled for Monday, February 17th, which is President's Day. The Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo's All-Western Parade in downtown Fort Worth will still go on as scheduled tomorrow morning.
KRLD Airport Travel Update.
As we head into the holiday weekend and in preparation for everything that could be happening with the cold weather, we want to give you advance warning on any delays at the airport. Right now, no cancellations in or out of DFW Airport, but some delays, mostly American Airlines flights out of DFW Airport. Delays out of left field, 27 of them so far. But again, we'll keep you up to date twice an hour.
All right, well, the U.S. Supreme Court today ruled the ban on TikTok can take effect on Sunday. It's got a lot of people up in arms. In a unanimous opinion, the court held Congress had the right to ban the app. UNT Dallas Law Professor Brian Owsley says it's a fight between a foreign company using the First Amendment and national security, and national security obviously wins.
Here, we are going to balance First Amendment rights against national security interests, and we're going to come out on this case on national security interests.
Now, he says President-elect Trump does not have the ability to override the law with an executive order, but he could choose to not enforce the law, which takes effect Sunday.
Big ups to a DPS trooper, a hero after saving a man inside a burning car.
It happened last week on the Dallas North Tollway near Spring Creek Parkway. Trooper Cody Durham spotted a car emitting smoke, and as he got closer, realized it was on fire and stranded on the side of the road. Durham quickly ran to the vehicle to see if anyone was inside.
Sir,
help me.
I'm trying to. Come here.
His body cam video shows Durham was eventually able to pull the injured man out of the car, which was on his side, and get the man to safety before the car was completely engulfed.
We're out there every day putting our lives in the danger, putting our lives on the line, to try to save somebody that's in danger, whatever situation they're in, for someone that we don't know who they are at all, and for someone that we may never see again.
The man inside the car was taken to the hospital and is okay. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
A lot of Gen Zers who are not terribly happy about this. And this was a unanimous vote, too, on the part of the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's bring in CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. He's with us right now. I'm going to find out a little bit more about this and where we head from here. The fact that the court went along with the ban, I guess that wasn't a surprise to most people, but was anyone expecting that it would be unanimous?
You know, I wasn't sure about unanimous, but during the oral argument, Ketanji Brown Jackson and Justice Elena Kagan were very sympathetic to the idea that when the nation is faced with a national security threat, that other rights, including the First Amendment rights, can be abridged. In fact, when you mentioned Obama, Kagan was his solicitor general, and she actually argued a case before the Supreme Court in which she basically said, because of national security, we have to set aside a right that we would otherwise would seem as, you know, unquestionable. So I wasn't that surprised, but, you know, look, you know, when it comes to our, you know, we talk about a divided court, but one thing that liberals and conservatives both usually agree on is free speech and national security. You know what the funny thing here was? Both issues were presented in the same case. So it was a clash, right? Normally, both sides tend to be sympathetic to the First Amendment and national security, but normally you don't see them coming up at the same time. And in this case, unanimously, they picked national security over free speech.
Let me ask you this. President-elect Trump has said that he's going to try to do something about this. What can he do? You can't overrule it, but is there anything he can do? What recourse does he have?
You know, he obviously what he's going to try to do is issue some kind of an executive order. An executive order is something that is, you know, the executive branch preserves that privilege. And this happens all the time. We saw this in the Trump administration, the first one, the Obama administration. If you can't get something done in Congress, just issue an executive order. Now, it comes up all the time. Remember the Muslim ban, right? That started out. That's how they start. Building of the wall started that way, through an executive action. The problem is it represents significant separation of powers questions, right? You have Congress that passed the law. You have a Supreme Court that said, you know what, the law is totally constitutional. And now you have a president that tries to override that. I don't think that's what he's going to do. I think he's going to try to issue some kind of an executive action that says we need a delay for the purposes of giving TikTok the opportunity to be sold to an American consortium without depriving 170 million Americans the right to use it as a platform.
And there is a 90-day delay that's built into the ban, isn't there?
Yeah, but you know, you guys, I can't speak for Texas. Can you sell a house that fast? You know, can you look at this, what you're trying to sell here?
That's a good point.
How long does it take to sell? You know, I remember a week ago, someone goes, they only have a week. I'm going, really? You think they're going to sell this in a week? So, you know, I think that 90 days may not do it. Besides which, you know, whoever's buying this is taking on risk, right? Because few things. Fines would start. If they don't shut down, fines are already going to start building up. So the asking price on this purchase, that's number one. Number two, you know, it's a great business model. You know, but, you know, it had this history of, you know, the possibility of data breaches. And so, look, you know, there's no doubt that Donald Trump knows people in business that want it. And I suspect that he's going to try to figure out a way to say, you know, and by the way, he used it for his campaign. So I think he's sympathetic to the platform. He doesn't want to see it go. What we saw is that the owners of TikTok and the Chinese government were just incredibly arrogant about this. They had plenty of time to sell it. They just never believed that in the land of the free, with the First Amendment, that the Supreme Court wouldn't say that this is a violation of the freedom of speech and freedom of press.
Very interesting. Thane, listen, it's great information, good insight, and we appreciate the time. As always, CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum. Republican state senator in Iowa proposing a bill that would authorize his state to buy a part of Minnesota, a very large part of Minnesota.
Essentially, the idea is to make 9 counties along Minnesota's southern border part of Iowa. The Iowa senator who came up with this idea, Mike Busolo, a Republican, argues this area was once a part of Iowa back when the state was a territory. And he believes Iowa would do a better job when it comes to helping these counties reach their full potential by investing in agriculture and renewable energy. He argues higher taxes and stricter regulations in Minnesota are getting in the way of growth. According to the latest census, about 180,000 Minnesotans live in these 9 counties. Senator Busolo says the deal would not change the number of congressional seats in each state or the number of electoral votes.
This is just a corporate strategy. It's the business world strategy of mergers and acquisitions for saying, we have an asset that we think we can do more with if we were to buy it from you. And so we would get a greater return from it than what we'd purchase it. And Minnesota would get a return in cash for that purchase.
Now, today we also heard from Iowa Democrats who think this is a bad idea.
We have serious problems in this state. We have real families who are struggling with their bills and their budgets. And it seems to me that this is not a realistic approach, and it's one to seek headlines. And frankly, it's offensive to the people who are trying to pay their bills.
This is reporter Gordon Severson in Minneapolis. It's basically the bottom row of counties in Minnesota, 9 of them. They just want to buy it. How could you? They don't have the money to buy that much real estate.
And I know Iowa had all that extra cash lying around. What, are they going to buy California parts that have been affected by the fires next?
And there is a similar story, meanwhile, down along the border between Illinois and Indiana. Except in this case, no one would be buying anything.
Voters in 33 Illinois counties, including multiple counties in the St. Louis region, have now approved non-binding ballot measures saying they no longer want to be part of the state. And a lot of people around here may not take that very seriously, but they apparently do in Indiana.
Instead of succeeding in creating a 51st state, they should just join us.
Indiana's Republican House Speaker Todd Houston has just introduced a bill to create an Indiana-Illinois Boundary Commission to look at making the Illinois counties part of Indiana.
At least they understand the legitimacy of what we're doing.
Virgil Strader heads the Madison County Committee for a group called the State of New Illinois. It's drawing up its own state constitution, but not looking to join Indiana.
If you took Cook County out of Illinois, the balance of Illinois has more geography, more commerce, and more people than the state of Indiana.
Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution says no new state shall be formed without consent of the legislatures and the Congress. Illinois Republican State Rep. Charlie Meyer favors separation but says support in Congress is highly unlikely.
I don't see it happening. If they allow Illinois to split off, then what happens if California wants to split? They could end up maybe being five states even, or Texas split up.
He's proposing a state constitutional amendment to allot one state senator for every three contiguous counties, which would give downstate Illinois a Senate majority instead of Chicago, which now dominates both houses of the General Assembly. And much less sloppy, he says, than trying to add a 51st star to the American flag.
That is News Nation's Andy Banker.
You know, in southern Illinois, we have a family farm, and I go there every now and then to check on it, see how it's going. And we have relatives that live nearby, and there is a real feeling that Chicago is the only thing people know about Illinois, and they speak for the entire state, but yet most of the state does not think like Chicago.
This is
even though that Cook County, as he mentioned, is the most heavily populated.
You get this in Colorado, too. It's Denver,
yeah.
You know, is the 800-pound gorilla. You get it in Minnesota, to Minneapolis, St. Paul. And you get a lot of people in these blue states, the conservatives in these blue states that border a red state, I'm sure they've considered it. And it probably works the other way, too.
Absolutely.
If you're a liberal in a red state.
Well, you know, think about this. In Austin, what are they thinking? I mean, a very liberal city, let's be honest, but they're surrounded, for the most part, by a sea of red.
Every city.
There is a migration right now in America of people leaving blue areas and going to red. It's just a matter of fact. Don't get anyone mad about that. It's just what's happening. And so you're seeing that, I think. And I also do think that this has to do with President Trump talking about getting Greenland and the Panama Canal. And now everyone's like, well, hey, if he could do that, maybe we can change our borders.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.